from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
My question to everything you just set up, and it was so sexy.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
What's up, Guru?
What's up, baby? Yeah, I was just ripping Ken.
Oh, you should. Fun with him. He deserves it. He roots for the Dolphins.
You know what? I went and watched that video again.
You don't know what he was talking
about. Yeah, the Brandon Ayuk video. What? There was too much euphoria coming from Kyle for it to be a trade. Like, that was a deal's done. It's coming. Just like a baby. It's coming.
Well, yeah, but we don't know if it's coming, you know, now or in 6 months. Like, when's the baby due?
Hopefully today.
Well, yeah, I don't need just one baby. I need twins. I need two contracts. I need a contract for Trent Williams and a contract for Brandon Ayuk.
But get them back on the damn field. You're right, and that's why I keep going real quick, Evan. Get your books in order. And for Mike Silver to say they knew that your boy Trent Williams had been, you know, feeling some type of way about his, like, this should have been handled.
It should have been, but it's also just, it's what the 49ers do. But I do wonder how people saw that video yesterday. Also, not just the news today. Look, people are tweeting out that a deal is imminent. You know, a move is imminent from the 49ers. People are interpreting the video as, you know, maybe he's saying his goodbyes. I certainly am not interpreting it that way.
I'm with you.
888-957-9570 is the number. Does the deal with Brandon Ayuk get done today? I don't think it... I'm not sure it gets done today, but I feel very confident that it will get done and that Ayuk is going to be a 49er.
And I do wonder where that'll place him amongst the ranks of the top receivers. DJ Moore, you know, getting his deal yesterday. I do wonder, when it's all said and done and the dust settles, assuming he's still here, Evan, what that number's going to be.
What that number's going to be?
For Brandon Ayuk. You got it?
No.
Oh, okay. I thought
No, sorry.
I was like, Evan got breaking news.
No, people are texting me. Leave me alone, okay? Leave me alone right now.
What are
they doing? Well, they're just sending things that, you know, may or may not be true. I don't have time to vet things while I'm on the air. So if someone tells me that the Niners have made a trade, I don't know, is that for Ayuk? Is that for another player? I don't know. Did they trade, I don't know, for Ray McLeod? Did they get him back? Like, I don't have time to look at these things, okay?
Ooh, this is the ghost of trade land.
No. Wow, boy.
Well, his ghost.
He looks horrible right now, bro. In Dallas, he's throwing picks left and right.
I thought he was your guy.
I thought too, but he, man.
Number four.
Have you seen any videos of him in practice, Evan? Just throwing it to the linebacker like there's not even a receiver. Like, oh, bud. Oh, boy.
Well, I haven't seen the video this year, but I think I saw plenty of videos of that last year.
Talk to you too on that.
Last couple
of years. But they're gremlins. He's doing the same thing in the Lone Star State. They're actually at Oxnard. But, man, I'm rooting for him. But, boy, it looks rough.
Well, that's why it's okay. So, Trey Lance has looked terrible in practice.
Yeah. All right. Here you go. You make me feel better.
So is Brock Purdy.
All right.
but I don't care about it. It doesn't mean much to me, but it means something when a player that we have labeled as either a bust or kind of being down bad on, when they do poorly, that's not good. Like, for example, okay, how much does practice matter for Dak Prescott for you?
Not much at all. Guys, okay. Season like that, nothing.
Okay, so on Tuesday, he threw 9 touchdowns. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, 27 nothing to the Packers at home in the playoffs. But go ahead.
Okay, fair, yeah. Right? That's fair.
Aaron Rodgers doesn't need to practice at all for me.
No, and in fact, Aaron Rodgers has spoken openly about using training camp to make mistakes, to try to experiment, to try to do the things that it sounds like Brock Purdy's trying to do right now.
And isn't that the essence of the word practice, Evan? That's where you try stuff and you make mistakes that don't kill you or hurt you or your brethren. But you do it to work on stuff to get better at. So when you do use it or try to use it in the game, you're ready.
Well, yeah, and that's why when we've seen the high level that's established by Brock Purdy, it makes me not really care much about practice. But for someone like Trey Lance, where you haven't seen much of him in-game for various reasons, then I think people do take a lot away from practice. I mean, like, I don't think fans of the Detroit Lions really care about Jared Goff. He's only thrown one interception so far in training camp. He's been lights out. Do they really care about that? Probably not. But does it mean that you just dismiss when or if he starts to throw picks? Like, the goal is to protect the ball. The goal is to not give it to the other team, in addition, obviously, to scoring. So Brock Purdy has protected the ball better than many quarterbacks around the league. Some of it might be because of Shanahan. I think a lot of it is also just because that's what he's good at. He knows how to protect the football. His first season, he only threw 4 picks. He threw 4 picks the other day in practice. I'd like to imagine that there's a reason behind that, you know?
Yeah, and if you're missing your starting left tackle and one of your starting wideouts, that's enough right there. But as far as protecting the ball, that's been one of his attributes that you like. So, you know, this has been an offseason for Brock Purdy to where, you talked about it earlier, Evan, he does it's all mental. He doesn't have to work on the rehab, coming back from the wrecked elbow. Now he can dissect, look, watch film, even try to fit some balls into tight places, but it's all football related. It's not him coming back and fans being worried about how that elbow is going to respond. So I expect, nobody asked, but I expect Brock Purdy to be Brock Purdy of the last 2 years or year and a half that we've seen him. And I don't know where the season's going to end, Evan, but I expect him to reset the quarterback market when it's time. Because that bill's coming due.
See, I expect him to be better. I do expect Brock Purdy to be better this season. He hasn't played much football. I mean, he's played 25 games in the NFL. That's, you know, 1.5 seasons. Right. That's not a lot. He's accomplished a lot in those 1.5 seasons, but he hasn't played much NFL football compared to his peers and the guys that are also getting paid.
And
outside of perhaps
more.
Jordan Love.
Yeah, done a lot more than a lot of those guys.
He has done a lot more. But I do think that it's reasonable to expect him to be better this season. Like, I mean, seriously. Why would I expect Brock Purdy to be worse than he was last year?
I don't have that answer. Now, if you don't have a Brandon Ayuk, that would contribute, but I don't expect that to be the case.
No, and that's why Trent Williams is important, because he's the best piece of Brock Purdy's protection. In fact, he might be the most notable and only big boy, literally, on that line that I trust right now. You know, they're trying, and they're using Trent Williams' absence to develop other prospects, and there's more reps for, you know, a rookie like Dominic Pooney or, you know, Jalen Moore, other players that might at some point be asked to step up and step in, because Trent Williams has also never played a full season in the last 10 years. He hasn't missed a ton of games some seasons, but he's never played a full 16 or 17 since 2013. So odds are you're not going to have Trent Williams for one or a couple of games.
Right.
That's where you need offensive line depth. They are trying to figure out how much depth they have. I'm just afraid, and this is also kind of a symptom of teams that pay a lot of players or pay a few highly paid players, is you naturally lose your depth. You know, I think the Niners a few years ago in the 2021 season, they lost to the Rams in the NFC Championship game. But one of the reasons they were able to get there in the first place is because they had so much more depth. You know, they didn't have to spend a ton of money on quarterback. They didn't have to spend at the time a ton of money on Debo. They didn't have to pay Nick Bosa yet. So they had a lot more players and a lot more depth. This is a very top-heavy team now. And so if one of those players is missing, then their absence is going to be highlighted even more.
And that's welcome to the new NFL. You laid it out. And that's why I say, Evan, everybody wants to win, but you can't. But at the end of the day, the Niners, since 2019, have been close. To me, they've been the better team in the Super Bowl twice, up 10. They didn't get it done, but it's why you want to win then and kind of cash that chip in. And you are right. There's going to be casualties because they've built something. They don't have anything to show for it from a Super Bowl standpoint and parades, but at the end of the day, you're going to lose guys. You can't pay everybody. So they're in that boat now, pretty much, but without the bling. And to me, that's what stings. And maybe they get it done this year.
Well, you would certainly hope that you can get it done this year. And look, we're keeping our eyes out for everything Brandon Ayuk related, everything Trent Williams related, because those two players are currently looking for deals. Ayuk's looking for an extension. Trent Williams is looking for a contract restructure. Hopefully in 45 minutes we'll have more clarity on that. Jennifer Lee Chan joins us via the River Islands guest line. And so we're looking forward to that as well. Also, you know, I do want to kind of figure out, you know, what else has been going on in camp outside of the big names. Yeah. There's been opportunities. We've seen Pearsall finally on the field. It looks like the secondary has made some strides, and they look like they could be a much improved group this year, specifically the cornerbacks. You know, so how do the 49ers, how does the defense look different than last year? Does it feel different with Brandon Staley? Nick Sorensen, the new DC, or one of them, spoke yesterday about how Brandon Staley's going to be in the booth.
Wow, man.
So remember, a big talking point last year was, is Wilkes going to be in the booth? Is he going to be on the sideline? Well, it sounds like they're going to have, you know, they're kind of co-DCs, essentially, one and the other.
Why do I hate that, Evan? It's
why?
Like it's one man's defense,
it?
Right? It's Sorensen's defense.
It should be.
But now I'm thinking, you know, again, the more the merrier, but I'm thinking, okay, at what juncture? Because the more experienced guy at calling defense is your guy Staley, and he was great at it as a DC. But
sure.
I just think there's going to come a point. And I'm not saying it's going to cost them games. This season we come in here, let's just say the defense is not playing well, and then we're like, well, how much is, what's Brandon doing? How is he calling the plays? I just hate when it's not one guy, you know what I mean? Like a Robert Saleh, it was his. And D'Amico Ryans, it was his. And I'm not saying it's not Sorensen, but when I see an experienced guy, and I'm hearing news about Staley in the booth, I do wonder, you know, are they co-calling plays? How's the dynamic?
Well, I don't think they're co-calling plays, but I think that having eyes in the sky, so to speak, is beneficial. I mean, Staley is, I think they've also described Staley as being somebody to more help schematically during the week, creating the plan, but not actually being the one to make the in-game calls or make the adjustments. Because even though he was good at it in Los Angeles with the Rams, he was not very good at it
right.
in Los Angeles with the Chargers. And that's a big reason why he's no longer their head coach. But Kyle Shanahan, I think, has the utmost confidence in Sorensen, and the familiarity with him is a big part of it. You know, again, chemistry is huge. Even when you have all the talent in the world, you need guys to be on the same page. And I think that's also maybe why Brock Purdy has thrown a couple of these interceptions, is because he's trying to get on the same page with all of his playmakers.
Yeah. And
the ones that he has.
Yeah, no doubt. Evan, I'll say this about that. It's kind of funny when I look at the Giants and Gabe Kapler and the Pasoy problem, allegedly. You know, he's gone, and now the Giants still haven't gotten better. Wilkes was the poster child for what was wrong with that defense. Again, didn't have any pads or a helmet. And what bothers me just about the whole playoff run for the 49ers under Wilkes from a defensive standpoint is that Detroit game. They came back, won the game. But, Evan, it was so strange to watch that unit defensively for the Niners give everything they had and got a 10-point lead on Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. The team collectively couldn't close it. But I do wonder, okay, Wilkes is gone, Bosa threw him under the bus a few times. So did the fans. I do wonder if Sorensen, with no Greenlaw to start this season, you know, how this unit responds and how they look. And the secondary is a big part of that. But if, you know, a secondary's best friend, Evan, is a pass rush, and if somehow Bosa can't get help and we don't see Hargrave, you know, wreck shop, what kind of defense without Kinlaw, excuse me, without Greenlaw, is this Niner unit going to be? I'm interested. And they got a tough task week one against A-Rod and the Jets.
They do. Another aging quarterback. And it's funny you bring up Rodgers, because the other big news surrounding Purdy this week was not about his play on the field. It was his comments on our Odyssey podcast, the TK Show, yeah, with Tim Kawakami. And that's what was brought up by Kyle Shanahan, by Brock Purdy, this idea of a legendary quarterback maybe being the guy. And that was Tom Brady. So, you know, I do want to get into these comments, all because right, I think they're interesting. Like, Kyle Shanahan said that the only guy that he was going to potentially replace Brock Purdy with, coming off of injury when there was less clarity, was the GOAT, was Tom Brady, who would have been, I think, age 45 at that point. Other than that, it was Brock's job. You know, he said he wasn't competing with Trey. He wasn't competing with anybody else. They'd bring him in on the roster. There was only one dude that they'd go to, and it was Tom Brady. And Kyle Shanahan said that he thought it was a compliment to Brock Purdy. Well, Brock Purdy responded a couple days ago, and here's what he had to say about Shanahan and Tom Brady.
How I took it was, you know, I understand. I was hurt, and there wasn't really a certainty as to when exactly I'd be back. Would I be back for the season? Would it be midway through the season? Like, who knows at that time? And so I totally understood, like, the fact of Kyle and the team needed a quarterback for next season. And so when he said Tom Brady, I'm like, all right, you know, that's cool for your sake as, you know, a quarter or as a head coach and for a team to bring in, you know, the best of all time. But yeah, a little bit of me was like, all right, well, I just proven that I beat this guy, you know, this past year and that I'm good enough to, you know, take our team to, you know, at the time it was an NFC championship. And so, there was a little bit to me where I was like, you know, I can obviously be the guy for this organization. So like, why not? But given the circumstances of me being hurt and, like having some certainty at quarterback, I understand why, he, you know, was willing to have that as a thought.
Yeah, so Brock Purdy says he's understanding. I also think that Brock Purdy is a competitor, and publicly, in the aftermath, after solidifying himself as, you know, a top five MVP candidate, after being maybe statistically the most efficient quarterback in the league last year, getting to the brink of a Super Bowl, he feels comfortable in saying, yeah, I would have been cool with that.
Yeah, and But his elbow was wrecked. There was no, you know what I mean? Like, there was no assurance that this guy was going to come back and just from a physical standpoint, you know, be the same. So I just got to give kudos to Kyle for being honest and keeping it 100, as the kids say, and having that conversation with him. But Evan, I guess my ego, let go of my ego, not ego. It wouldn't have been hit because I was hurt, and the uncertainty of me coming back, being able to grip a football and chuck it was, I could understand the wandering eye or trying to fire on Tom Brady. And I would also tell young Brock, this was the second time that Kyle was flirting with Brock, because the first time cost him a Super Bowl. That Tampa Bay Super Bowl could have been a Niner Super Bowl perhaps, but Kyle was in on Jimmy, thinking, okay, well, Jimmy's looking the part. But I guess the fact that your boy Brock was hurt, Evan, my ego wouldn't have been hit as much, because I'd have been like, damn, the uncertainty of my future, it's real. And Brock showed us it wasn't, because he came back. But,
well, I personally don't think it would have been the right choice.
Like, well, you can't prove that.
No, I can't. Yeah. But I think that Kyle Shanahan wanted Tom Brady primarily because he felt like he missed out on him in 2020.
Facts.
One.
Yeah.
Or after the 2019 Super Bowl.
Tom got a Super Bowl attempt.
Exactly. That's why he wanted him 4 years later. I don't think it was, I mean, sure, Tom Brady was, you know, a couple years removed from leading the league, I think, in touchdown passes. He could still clearly play.
But what about the damage to Brock?
Yeah, he didn't know about it.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, but then how come Tom Brady was the only guy that you were willing to go out and get an insurance policy on? If Brock Purdy was, if he was really that big of a question mark, and you were wondering if he was going to be healthy, available, all the rest, well, apparently you weren't ready to hand the keys to Trey Lance, and I don't blame him for that. But then why was Tom Brady the only insurance policy you're willing to take out? That doesn't seem very intelligent to me. Mm. That doesn't seem like a Kyle Shanahan, who I believe to be a forward-thinking individual, especially with a game of football. And I feel like you would have had hands in more pots if you actually believed that Brock Purdy was not going to be ready by week one.
Well, it goes to what you just said. He was scorned. He was burned, or he felt, Kyle, that is, not firing or going in on Tom Brady when he had the chance. And that's what that was, residue of what we now can say, you know, 4 years ago was a mistake. Because if you think about it, maybe you do win that Super Bowl with Brady and not Garoppolo.
Yeah, but I think it was a mistake to not obviously go get Brady instead of Jimmy G. That's shown to be true. But I don't think it was a mistake. It would have been a mistake if they had brought in Tom Brady last year, in my opinion. He had retired. He was coming off a season in which he had shown himself to be a much diminished quarterback. He was 45 years old. Like, do you think they win the Super Bowl last year if Tom Brady's quarterback in that Niners team?
Man,
I don't.
I was waiting on you for
I
that one.
Do not. Okay. I'm sorry.
But you know what? I got to give Yoda, and I'm calling Brady Yoda, I got to give him the respect to think, damn, Evan, maybe he changes the blocking assignments at the line of scrimmage when your boy came, Chris Jones came unleashed. You know, maybe he would have saw something that young Brock didn't see. And you call a timeout on that third down to where if you get a first down, you bleed the clock, kick a field goal, and you win. So I do get the premise of, goo, he's coming off. Come on, man. The dude was at home with the kids. But I can't rob the greatness
wife.
Of Tom, that's a four, of Tom Brady to say the way that game played out, maybe his experience could have got him that dub.
Yeah, no, we are giving him the benefit of the doubt because he's the greatest winner ever.
Yeah.
I saw a quarterback that was not it. I saw a quarterback. You remember who Brock Purdy first beat as a starter?
I want to say Tua.
Tom Brady. His first game was against Miami.
Okay, all right, I got you.
The following week against Tom Terrific at home.
Yeah, you're right.
He absolutely waxed the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think threw four touchdowns that game.
That got ugly.
Like, Brock Purdy, his first start against the GOAT, wiped his you-know-what with him. Yeah. Like, seriously, if that's
Mike
what we're
Evans
talking
had
about.
A touchdown call back,
you know, if you bring
game.
Up the whole head-to-head deal with Brock Purdy, he's gone through Dak. He's beaten this guy. He's beaten that guy.
Oh,
the only guy
impressive.
He hasn't beat is Mahomes.
Yeah.
He beat Tom Brady his first start as a starter. So you can't tell me that. Again, the emphasis from Shanahan was on Purdy being hurt. My question is, well, if he was really that damaged and you had that many questions about his elbow, which would be fair, why was Tom Brady the only quarterback that you were willing to go out and get? That's why I think that Kyle was stuck in the past, and he thought about what he could have had, what he didn't have, and what he still doesn't have, which is a Super Bowl ring.
Yeah, because he damn sure wasn't going to Trey Lance.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, I
think that was the correct choice.
Yeah, I get it, but I do understand. Like, Evan, I just can't tell you how that Tampa Bay Super Bowl, from a Tom Brady standpoint, what it did to me as far as, like, are you kidding me? You're really going to Tampa Bay? Not that you're going. You guys ain't winning a damn thing. And to win a bowl, like, that's incredible. So I kind of don't blame Kyle for, you know, not getting that out of his system, as that was the one that got away. And if you would have fired early, maybe we're talking about us getting the second Super Bowl under Kyle.
And again, this is from the TK Show, an Odyssey podcast original. Brock Purdy talking about it, and Kyle was trying to motivate him with Tom Brady.
I think we were just having an honest conversation about the whole thing. I think that when he was bringing that up, it was when it was before surgery. It was before I even had surgery or anything, so we had no idea what my timeline was like or anything. But there was the competitive side of it for me. I was like, dude, I just, you know, proved for, you know, 8-9 games that I can be the guy for this organization. But at the same time, they need a guy for next year if I wasn't able to make it back in time.
If he was the guy, why was Tom? If he wasn't the guy, why was Tom Brady the only guy? That's all I'm asking. 888-957-9570 is the number. Evan Giddings in for Matt Steinmetz with Daryl the Guru Johnson. Go ahead and download the Odyssey app directly from our QR code on both YouTube and Twitch. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. Also, make sure to join 95.7 The Game at Harding Park Friday, September 6th for the Pettinelli Financial Partners Golf Tournament benefiting the Autism Society, San Francisco Bay Area. Go to 957thegame.com to learn more. Presented by ADCO Pest Control, the Bay Area's locally family-owned pest control company. We're back after this, 957 The Game.
Are your eyes green?
They're brown.
But they're a different color. They look green today.
This guy.
His eyes are green.
Well, I've been told I do have beautiful eyes.
No, I didn't say that.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Well, you don't have to worry about anything. My eyes are just brown.
You got nice eyes.
My eyes are brown.
Yeah. Although, I miss the guy when he's not here. Go figure.
Dude, so I was in... Well, I do too. Shout out to Steiny. He'll be back next week. He's out in London. I was in the A's locker room last night. Well, I was kind of bouncing around. Yeah, thank you.
Look at my guy.
I was bouncing around after the last Bay Bridge series. Logan went through the shutout. So, I don't know about you, but sometimes I like to go to the opposing locker room. The ones who lose can oftentimes give you sometimes more than the guys who win.
Gotcha.
Because the guys who win, they're on cloud nine. You know, they're talking about how great they were. Sometimes, also, they're more deferential. You know, it's not about me. It's about we. It's about the team. We give 110%.
You want the drama.
Yeah, I want to know what someone that's standing in the batter's box thought about how Logan Webb was pitching. Or, for example, Ross Stripling, who's a former San Francisco Giant, not doing very well this year.
I thought they were going to jump him for 8 runs.
Yeah, me too. He's throwing 90 mile an hour four-seam fastballs center cut, and the Giants couldn't get enough hits off of him. But they did get a sack fly. They won 1-0. But the thing that everyone was kind of saying about Webb was like, you don't know where his pitches are going. You know they're going down, but you don't know if they're going down and left, if they're going down and right, or if they're just going straight down. So it makes them very difficult to hit. But the other part, too, is...
Give it to me.
Well, Ross Stripling in the locker room was just like, yeah, I mean, that's just him. Like, a lot of these hitters haven't hit against him before. Like, that's Webby. That's exactly what he said. That's Webby.
I feel like he's robbing my man Webby of something by saying that, the unfamiliarity.
But, well, the unfamiliarity.
Yeah.
Well, if you've never seen him pitch before, he's difficult to hit if you have seen him pitch before, if you have hit against him.
Right, but for him to say, I don't know, I feel like you saying that, Strip is saying the only reason Webb has success is they hadn't seen him. And well, that's normal across the board in baseball.
That might have been the reason why he threw his third career shutout. You know, he had his stuff last night.
Oh, he did.
He also hadn't been pitching very well,
but
so he's probably
ran himself out of this a couple innings too, I believe.
Yeah, first inning.
Jesus, like, I mean,
they had half their base runners in the first against Webb. That's how good he was. The other thing too is he's like, it always feels every single time like he's out there that Webb is at 65 pitches in the sixth. He's going deep in every single game.
He was finishing that bad boy. Duvall was up. They were like, let me get my glove.
Sit him down.
Hey, hold my beer.
Tranquilo, Camilo. Yeah. Sit down. No, the other part, too, was it was a very short game, which I know. Look, why don't people like sub-2-hour baseball games? If it's a 1-0 game, it shouldn't be 3 hours.
Because baseball is like a date. You don't want it over early. And I was anti-pitch clock. But good God, Evan, I want my baseball to be 9:30. I want it to tuck me in. That's what baseball's always there for you, every night. And these 1 hour and 50, I don't like any of it. My Troy Aikman, Evan, that's too fast. It just is. And, hey, do
how
I want
to
see guys
to
tuck their
then?
Chain in and multiple pitching changes? Maybe I thought I hated it, but when it's gone, I'm like, that's too fast. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to... Come on, give me some, man. I don't like, it's too fast.
You can't have it both ways, though, because a game that's 10-7 should also not go 4 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, a baseball game, look, I understand people paid a lot of money to go see the Giants and the A's last night.
That's too quick.
Well, then tell the Giants hitters to get some hits, take a couple pitches, get on base.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what we're talking about. A 1-0 game should not be 3 hours. I don't think it should even be two hours and 40 minutes.
But now I know how my wife feels, man. I'm like, that's too fast, man. Like, come on. What are we doing? You, come on, Evan. I know, but I'm being real. It's like,
oh my God.
That's what it feels like. I had to say it. But it's real. I'm struggling, E. That was, I could not believe the game was over. Like, I felt cheated.
A pitcher's duel is exciting, though, even if it's fast.
I'm being real.
No, people are telling on themselves. They say they like to watch good pitching. Well, I don't know about you, but people say they like to watch good pitching, but not if it's zip, zip, zip.
I turn back, I go, it's over. Like, come on, E.
People like home runs and strikeouts, and neither of those are quick.
Yeah. I'm just,
oh, no.
Where do we go from here, baby?
Well, we're going to go back to the gridiron.
Real quick, how long? Do you get nervous going in the locker room?
No, not really.
Do you get a high, or is just all, you know, I've been there, done that?
No. Well, for baseball locker rooms, I've been in a few of them, so it doesn't, no, the baseball locker room is actually more comfortable than, say, the NFL or NBA locker rooms. But it is, all right, it might be TMI. Baseball this locker rooms are also very open. Like, you can kind of approach most players at their lockers, even if they're, say, getting out of the shower or going into the shower. There's a lot more nudity in baseball locker rooms than other locker rooms, I think. Which is a little, that might be too much for some people.
If I had a cricket butt not hitting,
let's just be honest.
Hey, K, whoa, okay, I mean,
that's just how it is. I mean,
oh, the Sports Illustrated body issue is what just came
But
to
you
mind.
Don't go talk to somebody who's butt naked at their locker. Until they put a shirt and pants on. They say, hey, can I have a few minutes of your time? No, being a locker room should, anyways.
I'm getting crushed, these. I asked for it. Boy.
Well, hopefully, steadying the ship. Well, first of all, 12 o'clock, we're going to talk to Jennifer Lee Chan of NBC Sports Bay Area. She's been covering the 49ers for years. Of course, she's going to hop on courtesy of the River Islands guest line. So we're looking forward to that. Got to get into some things with, you know, Brock Purdy, his performance. Also, just what's been going on. Again, Brandon Ayuk, a lot of people feel like a deal is imminent. Yeah. After him shaking hands yesterday with John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan at midfield, what's going to happen there? Is someone like Trent Williams going to get paid in the near future, especially after seeing Trenton Wirfs from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers getting the highest deal from an offensive tackle ever? So we're doing all of it. Evan Infersteiny with Goo. But where we picked up, or I should say left off at the end of last segment, Goo, was with Purdy speaking on the Tim Kawakami show. And that's courtesy of Odyssey. But something that caught your ear was his comments about the biggest game from last year and the Super Bowl. And I'm glad it did, because there's something I have to say about it afterwards. Here was what he had to say.
I mean, it hurt a little bit just watching, like, man, like, because we all know the end result, which, you know, sort of sucked. But I think more than anything, it was pretty encouraging just knowing that, you know, man, that was my second year in the NFL. We're in the biggest stage, and I could have done this better, or, you know, the good plays, man, I did make those plays. And so those are confidence boosters that I can continue to build off of. So it goes back and forth, but to look at the big picture of things, I was like, man, like, I was playing a Super Bowl this past year, and coming off of UCL, like, there's a lot of grinding and mental stuff that I was going through last year, and then to be able to learn from plays in the Super Bowl, like, that's pretty special. Like, not a lot of guys get to experience that, you know, whether you did good or bad. Like, there's not a lot of guys that have gotten to that moment and have been able to learn from it. So I'm very grateful that I was able to go and play in those moments, and now I got to learn from it.
He's pissed off.
Man, I love that, though, E.
He's mad he didn't win the Super Bowl.
23 of 38, 256, one touchdown, no interceptions. And he's right. How many times we thought hair was coming out of my head? And Stoney was like, why are you worried about his elbow? He battled that and almost won the game. So in totality, his team lost, he lost, he's on one in the Super Bowl. But Evan, at the end of the day, I appreciate that honesty of, he talked about, don't stop believing, the journey he was on, and it almost culminated with the Super Bowl victory. And I'll say this about Kyle, because Brock's getting me there. Kyle's taking Jimmy, and now he's taking Brock Purdy to the Super Bowl, up 10 twice. Those are facts. And they didn't get the win. And now I focus in on Kyle on what he has to do differently or what he can do, Evan, differently to hoist up that Lombardi trophy, because he's had two different quarterbacks, two guys that nobody expected to be playing in that game. But damn, the one constant has to be, and you tell me, am I blaming Kyle? But I can't ignore the rat on the table brought to you by Atco. Is the same head coach had two different quarterbacks and two different 10-point leads and couldn't close it. That's like, I can't, you, that's on Kyle. However, whatever I'm saying is on it, it's on you. There's something fundamentally going on to where two different guys got you to a 10-point lead and you couldn't close it as a coach. And I don't know what I'm saying. I just, like, Kyle can't run from that. And hearing Kyle on with the great Tim Kawakami, he owned it. He owned it. Like, yeah, Goo, I'm hearing you. I should have had two.
Should have had three.
And that's why I like Kyle, because he added another one. Because Stein would be like, you're right, blah, blah, blah. Kyle said it should have been three. We should have been in three. So when I hear that, that's music to my ears. Like, hey, bud, I'm wondering if you're ever going to get it done. But when you tell the world, you feel like, hey, forget the two. We should have been in three. I think Evan is a fan or just a guy from afar. I can respect that to the utmost, man.
But when he says I should have had two, maybe you should have had three, that's why I hear desperation, because he's so close. And that's why, to go back to our last segment, I heard him talking so much about Tom Brady, because who has more Super Bowls than TB12?
Wow, man.
Nobody.
Right.
And Kyle Shanahan has been on the doorstep of two, in his opinion, three. Does Tom change that? I think he changes the first one, and Kyle probably regrets not moving off of Garoppolo for him. The last one, last year, with all due respect to the GOAT, he's got every record in the books. He's the greatest quarterback thus far to ever lace him up. I don't think he changes the outcome of last year's Super Bowl. And that might be asinine of me to say, but if you swap Tom Brady for Brock Purdy, which is what they were willing to do if Tom had come out of retirement, because Kyle Shanahan also admitted that to Tim Kawakami, I still think they're in the same place.
Wow.
Without a Super Bowl.
And what does that do to moving forward for young Brock Purdy? Could say, you know, how he would handle it, but we really don't know how you would respond had that happened or popped off mentally, you know? So you avoid that at least also. And you are right, Evan. He probably was washing cars, kicking it with the kids, and I'm acting like he is just playing, like, you know, with New England, how he did that. No, that wasn't it.
No, they weren't getting 07 Brady. They were getting 2023 Brady.
And they still should have won with Brock Purdy last year's game, to me, that I've watched a million times. Evan, well, they had the ball with one third down. If the O-line blocks and you get a first, you're going to milk the clock and kick a field goal and win. And Romo and Nance, and they were saying it. And your boy Chris Jones to the rescue.
But if you want to get technical, that's also why I don't think they win with Tom Brady. The reason why Tom was able to beat Patrick Mahomes is because that Tampa Bay Buccaneers team won in the trenches. They won at the line of scrimmage on the offensive side and defensive side. They were in Mahomes, you know what, the entire night. And that offensive line was dominant. It's one of the big reasons why a guy who was a Super Bowl winning member of that team, the left tackle, just got paid the most money by a tackle in the history of football, because he was defending Tom's blind side in that Super Bowl. The 49ers, you could make a case, the biggest reason why they didn't win the Super Bowl was because of their offensive line play, because it broke down in key critical situations. I think there are other things that happened too.
Are you the last year or both? Because it looked, you could apply what you just said to both of those Super Bowls.
Exactly, but Tom Brady's not changing that, in my opinion. He's not changing somebody not knowing where to be. He's not changing someone not being able to hold Chris Jones out of the backfield. He himself cannot go block a 300-pound defensive tackle. So, as great as Tom Brady is, especially at the line of scrimmage, I'm talking about a guy who is 45, going on 46 years old, being the difference. I don't see it.
Evan, I'll give you that. I want Johnny Cochran that. I get you, man. But the 4 years ago one, Evan, I was all in, and I do think they would have had the Super Bowl had that not been Jimmy and Brady going against Mahomes. I and I almost give Kyle a pass for even entertaining it again years later, Evan, because of that pain. How many times can you be drinking? I don't know if you ever had drinks by yourself. You're at home watching a game. You're thinking about your life, and you think about, had I pulled the trigger? Oh, God. Had I pulled the trigger?
Too many times.
I might have had my Super Bowl. Like, that doesn't just go away. You know what I mean?
No, it doesn't. It's going to haunt him forever if he doesn't win one.
Yeah, right. You are right. Probably, think about that forever.
I mean, it haunts Marino. It probably haunts. Shoot, Kyle Shanahan probably haunts him as the offensive coordinator for a team that was up by a lot. I mean, it probably haunts Matt Ryan. Could haunt right now. Probably haunts the Philadelphia Eagles. They also lost by 3 points in the tail end of the Super Bowl. Buffalo four times. There's a lot of teams that it haunts, but that's also the difference and why I don't think that, yes, a few years ago, like if Brady was the quarterback in 2021, I think they probably go and get it done. This last year, yeah. I don't see it. It's the same reason why I felt like it was a mistake for the New York Jets, who the Niners, by the way, play week one Monday night at Levi's. I don't think it was the correct decision for them to trade heaven and hell for Aaron Rodgers.
See, I'm on Evan. I think they're going to be I think they're going to the AFC Championship. It's going to be them and the Chiefs. Like the Jets are so good in a lot of places that A-Rod and that expertise.
R-E-L-A.
Yeah, I don't agree with a lot that comes out as pie hole, man. But I'm on the Jets, and I'm the guy that also said Denver with Russell Wilson was going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, how come you don't like the Steelers this year?
Yeah, that ship has sailed.
The Steelers?
No, Russ. Russ and Justin.
Well, why hasn't the ship sailed with Aaron Rodgers? He's 40 years old.
But that arm is not 40.
No, but the reason, I think one of the reasons why the Packers were okay with trading him is because they knew they had the next guy up.
Now, that's interesting.
They had Jordan Love waiting in the wings.
But they barely got it. Speaking of, I'm not mad. That was a great story, and I love his upside. Love. But Aaron, Evan, you couldn't tell me you knew Jordan Love was going to hit the ground running because it looked bad early. They got hot. They did. I can't rob them of that. But for all the, hey, I told you Jordan Love, they got in at the end, beat Dallas, should have beat the Niners. I said it. I keep watching that game. But, man, now he looks like the man in his highest paid quarterback.
Jordan Love?
Yeah. And I think that makes the NFL look bad just in regard to what we're doing and who's getting paid and how. It shouldn't just be because Evan's up, he's going to take advantage of where he's at in his deal. It's about how can Jordan Love, with one playoff win, be paid more than Brock Purdy? Now, that's going to change and fluctuate, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's about timing. I mean, Trevor Lawrence has one playoff win. He's also making $55 million a year. Ken, does Tua have any playoff wins?
None.
Zero.
No, that's tough. And he's making $53 million.
No, my gosh. Like, they're going to
quarterbacks get paid.
I guess that's the title of the jam.
I mean, that's why Brock Purdy is going to be the first $60 million quarterback.
There's no doubt in my mind he's getting it, Evan. He would really have to regress. Like, he would have to be at what he's doing now in practice, allegedly. Like, we would have to see a couple. He'd have to go Jimmy Garoppolo, esque. In order for him to shoot himself in the foot and the Niners not give him that break.
He'd have to throw left-handed blindfolded to figure
it out. And can I say one last thing to you about that? Castani fights me on Kyle being finicky and maybe he don't want to invest. Isn't there a prestige in, hey, I drafted Evan, Mr. Irrelevant. I made Evan, and I groomed him to be ready for this press conference the day that comes, that we're going to give him 60 or he's going to reset the market. Isn't that an organization's dream of that day to say we drafted them, we've identified them, like Curry and Clay and Dre got paid? I don't think it's, oh my gosh, we got the best out of them and now we're dreading pay. Like, to me, that's a dream to draft, identify, win, and then pay you.
Yes, I think Kyle Shanahan has more confidence in Brock Purdy than he has had in any quarterback that he has worked with ever. Mm. That includes his bride, Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Because Kirk Cousins was in the same draft class as RG3. He didn't start because RG3 was the guy.
And hasn't sniffed the NFC Championship game.
Kirk Cousins became the guy. He inherited Matt Schaub. So they did great things together, statistically. Matt Ryan, obviously they got to the precipice of a Super Bowl. Matt Ryan has had maybe the best individual statistical season MVP. Under Kyle Shanahan. Yeah, yes, he won league most valuable player. But the way that Kyle Shanahan talks about Purdy, the way that the offense is hummed, the moment he's taken over as a starting quarterback, I have no reason but to believe that Shanahan believes in Purdy more than any other signal caller that he's been in the same quarterback room with.
I'm with you. And that's why I'm excited for Niner fans for this year, Kyle. We'll see. But, Evan, the right on the table for me, you didn't ask. I'll just keep beating the drum until week one. And this year's playoffs is what happened to that Niner Ferrari offense in the playoffs starting on the rainy Saturday night against Green Bay? I want to know. Against Detroit, and they were rather pedestrian in the Super Bowl. Hey, but they got there. But, Evan, I do want to know.
Well, that's why I do think Purdy can be better this year, is because so many things moved in the right direction. Like, momentum was a huge part of the, and is a huge part of the Niners offense. When they get on a roll, and this was something Kittle touched on in the receiver doc. We can also run it by Jennifer Lee Chan in about 10 minutes. Okay. She covers the Niners for NBC Sports Bay Area. She's joining us via the River Islands guest line. When Kittle talked about in the receiver Netflix doc, when they got going, they were unstoppable. In the playoffs, it's harder to get going at your pace as quickly as you want because there's other teams, they're talented, they know what you want to do, they game plan for you. I think Purdy can take a step in that department in operating outside of just momentum spaces.
Wow, man.
Operating outside of the rhythm.
Consistency.
Consistency when there isn't things going your way, either when a player is hurt or, I don't know, if...
Because they lost three in a row without Debo and Trent.
Maybe he got sacked on first down, and instead of second and advantageous, it's second and disadvantageous. Uh-huh. Like, those are the situations where I think Purdy can take steps forward, because we know what he can do. When things are rolling with him, you know, when they pick up 6 yards or 7 yards on the ground first down, I know second down and short, Purdy can do anything. He can do everything. The Niners last year, efficiency-wise, were not great on third downs. They just didn't have to play on third downs a whole lot because they were picking up first downs at an amazing rate. I think Brock Purdy can be better when it's not going his way.
Now, that's well said, and it adds intrigue and excitement to this upcoming season, and it starts tonight with the Texans Bears, right? Tonight. Hall of Fame game.
Yep, yeah. Houston.
On that raggedy-ass field. That's why you take the under. That field's a high school field.
Is that the reason why your neighbor's on the under?
Yeah, and Dibs has told, dude, that game always is on the under. He don't even know he remembers telling me that. Luke Skywalker, I listened to the Yodas.
See, but maybe it's just the contrarian to me. I almost would fade it then. Because it's like, well, everyone's going to be on the under, so it's going to be juiced.
Well, you can do whatever you want, buddy. They don't hate on my parade, I feel.
What's the number?
You end up being right.
What's the number?
Yeah, 36 and a half.
I'm not a betting man. Give me 37.
Oh, boy.
We'll come back in tomorrow. It's also Payday Friday,
I'll
so I'm able to make
neighbor,
that investment.
He's on the over.
But for you, it's a Payday Thursday.
Yeah. Well,
I don't like that. I don't like you getting your money before us.
You know what? It's been coming in on Friday, Evan, here lately.
Yeah, but you always walk around like, you know, you're kind of just a little bit better than us today.
Kay, tell him to stop talking. I don't get it till tomorrow.
I got playing. You. No, he doesn't get paid until, you know, the rest of us.
There you go, E.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
This is from the 925 Xfinity Mobile text line. Purdy might be the fourth best off-schedule playmaking quarterback in the league.
Now, how would one judge that? I know we got all the metrics, but Mahomes is number one at that, right?
Well, no, he's a good scrambler. What I'm saying is not necessarily like when the play starts is
when it breaks down.
No, but when a drive breaks down.
Mm.
So again, it's hard to do, but the best quarterbacks I feel like still turn drives that are supposed to fail into drives that succeed. Not necessarily just an individual play, but again, like if it's second and 13, a lot of times you're forced into sort of a pass first situation.
Yeah.
Okay, so if the defense knows you're going to pass as opposed to having both options on the table, that's why the Niners to me were so dangerous. Like this was something that actually killed the Cowboys. Sorry to bring it up.
Last year,
on Sunday Night Football, they discussed in the locker room after the game the fact that it's impossible once the Niners get rolling because you don't know they can do everything. And the way that Shanahan disguises their offense, it's impossible to tell whether they're running the football, which they can do and gash you, and they could do it six times in a row, or they could throw the ball six times in a row and be equally as efficient. The issue is when you're able to get that first initial play. Maybe you get a sack. Maybe you get a tackle for loss. Maybe it's just a short pitch and catch for 2 yards. Okay, well then, how do you keep the drive moving, and how do you do it successively? That's where I think Brock Purdy can get better.
No, I love it, and we'll watch and monitor it this season. But that just got me wound up. Like, you are right. All that is correct and on the table. And we'll see the growth. He has not been the bionic man in regard to rehabbing and doing all that. It's the mental reps, watching the game again. But damn it, I'll leave you with this, Evan. Last thing about last year's Niners. They should have won the damn Super Bowl. Just my 2 cents.
Well.
Should have won two.
I got you. I don't want to go there yet because we got to hit a break. And we got Jennifer Lee Chan of NBC Sports Bay Area coming up on the other side, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. And that's what's coming up also on the game, presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Evan Giddings, Daryl the Guru Johnson, in for Steiny Guru here on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Odyssey celebrates the back-to-school season, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.